أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وبه نستعين، إنه خير ناصر ومعين. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين وسيد المرسلين أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. My respected elders, brothers, sisters in Islam and Iman, Salamun alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah for the opportunity to come together, to worship together, to read the Quran together, and inshallah achieve the pleasure of Allah in doing so. This is the month of Ramadan. The days and nights are passing by swiftly. I hope that inshallah we can all take advantage of whatever it is that remains. And while the door of mercy and the door of repentance is open to us, that we can take advantage of all the blessings that Allah has put in store for us in this month. Last night we were talking about the story of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, and we were looking at some of the verses that describe how it is that Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam perceived family and children. The verses that we covered yesterday were from Surah Safat, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim, Surah number 37, verse number 99 and onwards, where Allah captures Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam as saying the following: وَقَالَ إِنِّي ذَاهِبٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ. Nabi Ibrahim said that, "I'm going to my Lord and He will guide me." And immediately then the next dua, the next statement from Nabi Ibrahim, رَبِّي حَبْلِي مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Oh my Lord, grant me one who from among the righteous. And we talked about last night, yesterday evening, that about salihin. What does it mean for somebody to be one of the salihin? This dua of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam was responded to by Allah with the gift of Ismail. But we see in another place in the Quran where a similar dua is made, but it doesn't have the same sincerity as the dua of Nabi Ibrahim. If you look at Surah A'raf, Surah number 7, verse number 189, Allah describes the typical dua that an expecting couple will make while they're waiting for their baby to come into this world. And you can compare and contrast this to the dua of Nabi Ibrahim. It's very interesting. Allah says in this verse, Surah A'raf 7, verse number 189, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ. He it is who created you from a single soul. وَجَعَلَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا. And He made from it its spouse, لِيَسْكُنَ إِلَيْهَا, so that it might find repose in it. Now, this is what follows is going to be a description of what typically happens for a father and mother who are expecting a child. فَلَمَّا تَغَشَّاهَا حَمَلَتْ حَمْلًا خَفِيفًا فَمَرَّتْ بِهِ. When a mother starts to expect a child, she begins to carry a light load and she's walking with it, carrying it around. فَلَمَّا أَثْقَلَتْ, when this load, when the baby takes on more weight, when it becomes heavy, دَعَوَ اللَّهَ رَبَّهُمَا. They both pray to Allah. They both make dua. رَبَّهُمَا, their Lord. لَإِنْ آتَيْتَنَا صَالِحًا, if you were to give us a righteous child, a child who is wholesome and safe when it comes to physical, and maybe even when it comes to other matters mentally and spiritually as well too. لَإِنْ أَتَيْتَنَا صَالِحًا O Allah, O our Lord, if you were to give us a child who is righteous, who is upright, who is healthy, لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ We certainly will be thankful to you. Now, this particular stage of a child's development is very special for the parents, because the parents can't see the child. The child is hidden in the womb of the mother. They can't see the child, and there's very, very little they can do to help that child grow. Pretty much, everything is being taken care of for the parents. All they see is that day by day, that fetus and that child that's within the womb is getting larger and larger, and the load that the mother is having to carry becomes heavier and heavier. So the only thing they can do at this point is that they can make dua. There's no other recourse they have. They can't do anything else. They don't have to worry about feeding it. They don't have to worry about changing its diaper, because it's all hidden. Now, Allah says, Allah is describing the typical course of it. This is how typically parents are. People who believe in God, typically they make a lot of dua at this point. However, once the child comes out, what happens? The nature of the dua changes. The nature of their need of Allah changes. فَلَمَّا This is verse 190. فَلَمَّا آتَاهُمَا صَالِحًا When Allah gives them a child that's healthy, جَعَلَا لَهُ شُرَكَاءَ فِي مَا آتَاهُمَا They now place a sharik. They make a partner to God in that which Allah has given them. They forgot. They forgot that state of need they had of Allah when the child was in the womb. Once it comes out, they start to operate with a different tune. They start to look to different causes and to different things that will help them raise that child. If only it was the case that same need of Allah, that same sincere plea of Allah, that same dua that they had to Allah was there afterwards the same way as it was before. This is what we see, unfortunately, sometimes we as parents, this is what we do as parents in this society. We sometimes, out of pity for our children, we think that somehow our children are at a disadvantage because they're Muslim, because they have restrictions which are more than the typical child in the society. And out of pity for them, or out of a feeling of insecurity, we make a sharik to Allah, as the verse says. We let certain aspects of the society come in and inform us as to how we should raise our children. It's okay. It's okay if they do this minor sin right here. After all, it's just a minor thing. Just so that they don't be different and they don't have to stick out from other people in their class. Is this the type of tarbiyat? Is this the type of upbringing that the Quran and that Islam calls us towards? Look at the example of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. That he is raising children also in a society which is a mushrik society. But he doesn't want anything to do with shirk. And he's proud of this. This is our identity. Our identity is that we're Muslim. Our identity is one of adhering to the laws of God. And it's something that we should take pride in. Not that we feel pity on our children because they're different. No, this is what distinguishes them. This is what gives them identity. This is what gives them character. This is the type of identity that they can cling on to that other people don't have. We should be proud about it. That we have something called the Quran. We have the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam as well too. Now, in the next verse, going back to Surah Safat, Surah number 37, we see that Allah accepts and grants the dua of Ibrahim. He says, فَبَشَّرْنَاهُ بِغُلَامٍ حَلِيمٍ We gave him the good tidings of a child, of a youth who is Halim. We explained last evening about what Halim is, somebody who remains calm and unperturbed in the face of difficulties that come their way. If somebody is bothering them, they don't get annoyed easily. And if difficulties come about, they remain calm and patient. Then, in the next verse, Allah shows us how this son, Ismail, is Halim. He says, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَ When he reached that point where he could start accompanying his father and going along with him in his different journeys, He says to him, Ibrahim says to him, قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ O my son, Inni ara fil manami anni azbahuka. Nabi Ibrahim is a prophet. A prophet receives special instructions through his dreams. And he sees three nights in a row an instruction from Allah that he is to slaughter and sacrifice his own son, his own precious son, who was a gift from Allah, who was the answer to his prayer. So he tells this to his son. Ya bunayya, O my dear son. Lesson number one we can get from this verse is that when we're talking to our children, we should use nice language, terms of endearment. Ya bunayya is a very beautiful way in the Arabic language of referring to somebody who is your son. It means, O my dear son. Lesson number two, that when our children reach a certain age, and according to a hadith, it's around the age of 14, but it might vary, and you as a parent, you can gauge and see when your child is ready for this. When they get to a certain point, we should take their counsel on something. We should take their advice. Because one of the best ways of giving our children confidence and helping them become adults is by taking their advice and seeing what they think about certain things at times. Nabi Ibrahim takes his son's opinion on this very important issue. He says that, I see in my dream that I'm supposed to sacrifice you. فَانْدُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. What is it that you think about this? What is your opinion? The opinion of our children is something which is valuable. We should take it and consider it and let them know that this is opinion, this is important to us at that certain age. قَالَ يَا أَبَا تِفْعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ. Look at the response of this boy right here. This is a lesson for all of us. He says, O my father, O my dear father, if al matumar, do whatever you are commanded. Satajiduni insha'Allah min as-sabirin. You will find me, if Allah wills, among those who are patient. Lesson number one, that when, in the words of Ismail, that when it comes time to submitting to the law of God, to the command of Allah, we're completely submissive. Whatever Allah wants. That's the way a servant of Allah, that's what a Muslim is about. Muslim is about submitting. If we find out that Allah wants something from us, we submit. Lesson number two, Nabi Ismail alayhi salam doesn't say, Oh my father, you've been commanded to slaughter me, therefore slaughter me. He says, do whatever you are commanded. It shows the level of submission that Nabi Ismail has. If it's the case that you're supposed to slaughter me, then that's what you should do. If it's the case you're supposed to free me, that's what you're supposed to do. Whatever it is that Allah wants, that's what I want as well too. And then we see, as a third lesson from this word of Nabi Ismail, we see how much Allah is part of his life. In such a situation, such a difficult situation, where he almost for sure is going to die, he's going to be killed, right? He's going to be slaughtered at the, you know the story, right? That Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam takes him and he blindfolds him so that he won't. He doesn't want to blindfold himself, so he doesn't want to, you know, God forbid that at the sight of his son that he doesn't do it, right? And he ties him up as if he's going to offer a sacrificial lamb or a sacrificial goat, right? He ties up his own son. He's prepared to die, but in such a difficult situation, his thoughts are not absent from Allah. You will find me if Allah wills. Even this patience that I'm looking for, it's going to be a gift from Allah. You will find me, if Allah wills, among those who are patient. This is the type of son that Nabi Ibrahim is given. And these type of characteristics that we look at, these are guidelines and guideposts for us as parents. We're looking to nurture and foster these type of characteristics in our own children as well too. Now, in the next set of verses that we want to look at, this is we'll see some other aspects of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam and how he regards family and family ethics. We say salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. These verses are from Surah Ibrahim, Surah number 14, starting from verse number 35. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Wa idh qala Ibrahimu rabbi ij'al hadha al-balada aminan. وَجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَن نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ. Remember and recall when Ibrahim said, O my Lord, make this city a city which is safe, and prevent me and preserve me and my children from worshipping idols. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam is making this dua in Mecca, and there's about seven du'as that he makes here. All of them are very beautiful, all of them are very comprehensive. We make use of these du'as in our kunut at times. And there, within these du'as, we can learn a lot about the relationship we're supposed to have with Allah and also how we're supposed to view our family. Here, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam makes a very interesting du'a. He says that, O Allah, O my Lord, protect me and my children and my progeny from worshipping idols. Nabi Ibrahim's hatred of idols and idol worship and associating with Allah is so strong that the first of his du'as in this particular set of du'as is this very du'a, that to prevent that idol worship from being something which affects him and his progeny. There's something that we can learn from this for us as well too. Nabi Ibrahim was in a society. He knew that people around him were people who had this type of ideology, this type of creed. And he knows that his own children could be affected by this as well. And so he's making this dua on behalf of him and his children as well too. We too, we need to be praying for our children not to be affected by the shirk in this society. We live in a society where there's a lot of turning away from God. God is absent from the lives of most individuals around us. The type of gods that people bow to are gods other than Allah. And we can't expect that just by, for example, coming to mosque, coming to the center once in a while, or just by going to Sunday school, that we're scot-free. No, we have to make an effort. We can do it. Our prophets did that. We have examples of success, but it takes effort. It starts by making dua. But all the du'as that we have in the Quran, they're not just words that the prophets would say. They would say them and then they would try and put their utmost effort in trying to make that dua come true. And this, by the way, is one of the secrets of dua. Dua isn't just about asking. Dua is about asking and then making use of all the resources that Allah has given us to make that dua come true. So in this particular case, when the dua, the request is that of preventing my children from being affected by the idols, then I need to take whatever steps I can to make sure that this doesn't happen. Making sure they're not affected by this. Making sure that my children have good friends. Making sure that they have a safe environment as well too. That they're not corrupted by those elements of those who will worship other than Allah. Now, he continues with the du'as. We're going to skip ahead to verse number 39. Here, Allah captures Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam as saying the following. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الحمد لله الذي وهب لي على الكبر إسماعيل وإسحاق إن ربي لسميع الدعاء. All praise is due to Allah and belongs to Allah, the one who granted me Ismail and Ishaq despite my old age. Indeed, my Lord listens to dua. One of the things that this verse reminds us of is to be thankful to Allah for the blessing of family. This is a gift from Allah. And then he asks, he says, رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي, O my Lord, make me مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ, one who establishes the salah, وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي, and from my progeny as well too. One of the most important responsibilities that parents have is to establish the prayer for themselves and to have their children also become those who establish the prayer. Because if the prayer is established, everything in the right way, if the prayer is established in the right way, with the right attention to it, with the right place in our lives, everything else follows suit as well too. That's why we're told that in the hereafter, the first thing we're going to be asked about is our prayer. In قُبِلَتْ قُبِلَتْ مَا سِوَى. If it's accepted, everything else will be accepted. وَإِن رُدَّتْ رُدَّتْ مَا سِوَى. If it's rejected, then everything else is going to be rejected as well too. Why is that? Because the prayer, the salat, is the key to everything else. A person who establishes their prayer And if they say in their prayer, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ, and they really mean it, that you alone we worship and you alone do we ask for help, then everything else will fall into place as well too. Because how can they go and then do other things that are contrary to the will of Allah? رَبِّ اجْعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي. This is a dua that I believe all of us should memorize, and I recommend that we do so and make use of in our prayers, especially those of us who are parents. This is a very serious issue to establish prayer. And then Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam says, رَبُّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُمُ الْحِسَابُ. Another one of those du'as that we should memorize. Oh my Lord, forgive me and my parents and the believers on that day of reckoning, that day of accounting. This is a very beautiful du'a. It shows us the concern and care that Nabi Ibrahim has for his family as well too. He prays for his parents. One of the responsibilities that we have as children, all of us are, after all, children. One of our responsibilities is to pray for our parents. In hadith, we're told that one of the companions came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says that my mother and father have passed away. What responsibility do I have towards them now? Obviously, when they're alive, we have to serve them, we have to treat them well, we have to accompany them, we have to attend to their needs. But what do I have to do now? The Prophet says that what you have to do is you have to pray for them. And you have to ask forgiveness for them. And whatever they have told you to do, and they've enjoined upon you to do, do that thing. Respect their friends. Even the friends of our parents, we're supposed to seek them out and respect them if our parents have passed away. And their relatives as well too, treat them well. And then he said to them that your mother has twice the right over you as your father does. Now that's when our parents have passed away, but what about when they're alive? In one hadith we're told that one of the companions came to Imam Baqir alayhi salam and Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam tells him that in your daily prayers, make the following dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka li, O Allah, I ask you on my behalf, wa li walidayya, and my parents' behalf, wa li wuldi, and my children, wa ahli bayti, and all of those who are in my household, wa ikhwani, and all my brothers, and my brethren, my brothers and sisters in faith, fika. What do I ask for? Al-yaqeen. Certainty, wal-af, forgiveness, wal-mu'afata, wal-rahmata, wal-afiyata fi dunya wal-akhirah. The dua itself is very beautiful, but the concept that's being expressed is very important. That one of the things our imams wanted to do is that in our duas, we don't just be selfish for ourselves. We pray for others, especially our parents, and especially our children, and our brothers and sisters in faith as well too. You know, brothers and sisters, the effect of praying for one another, for other believers, is so incredible. In hadith, we're told that the du'a which is accepted the fastest out of all of du'as is when a believer, a mu'min, prays for another believer. Out of all the du'as that are there. And that's why we have this culture of asking each other to pray for one another. Ayatollah Behjat, they say that, he said that if we don't pray for one another, we will all perish. Right? If we don't pray for one another, we'll all perish. That's how important it is to pray for one another. And in another, the point being that what we see in the du'a of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam is capturing very important teachings that we have. Even this concept of our parents praying for us, we as children should be seeking to have our parents pray for us. We should be asking them, when we have difficulties especially. Some of the mu'mineen, they say that when they're in very difficult situations, one of the secrets, because mu'mineen have access to secret sort of ways that non-believers don't have access to. When problems come up, believers have recourse to means that non-believers don't have. One of the secrets is to ask our parents to pray for us. And you'll find, you can try this, it's been tried and tested, that when difficult straits come about, if you ask your parents to pray for you, then you'll find sometimes, many times, often, always, that your problems will be taken care of in a faster way, in ways that you didn't anticipate. Even if your parents have passed away. In hadith, we're told, this is from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he says that if your near relatives pass away, go and visit their graves. And then he says that when you do so, they become happy. And he says, anytime one of you has a hajat, you need something, and it's not being taken care of, he says, go to the grave of your father and mother, make dua for them, and present your need to them, and they will pray for you. Right? This is the power of the dua that a parent makes for his or her child. So we see this culture in the mindset of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. He's praying for his children, he's praying for his parents as well too. Peace be salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Now, in this set of seven du'as that appear in Surah Ibrahim, there's one characteristic that's very interesting. Whenever Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam prays for others, he first prays for himself. He says, وَجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَن نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ. Prevent me and my progeny and my descendants from worshipping idols. And then in another dua, as an example, he says that رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَةِ. Make me one who establishes the prayer. وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي. And my progeny. And then he says again, رَبَّنَ اغْفِرْ لِي. Forgive me and forgive my parents and the believers. What is the secret behind this? One of the teachings that we can gain from this is that Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, despite being concerned about his family, he didn't forget about this very fundamental point that if we want to help our family, we need to be helping ourselves. In the desire, for example, to help our children become successful individuals, we shouldn't imagine that we can make that happen while forgetting about our own success. And if we define success to be somebody who is a devout servant of Allah, the best way that we can help our children to become devout servants of Allah is for us to be the same. A parent who expects that his child is going to become religious only by sending them to Sunday school, but they themselves don't take a keen interest in studying the religion, in learning, in inviting the ulama, and sitting in the presence of the ulama, asking them questions, studying, listening to lectures, asking, having this culture of learning, how is it that they expect their child will be interested in it? Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam sets the example for us that always, if we're seeking something for our children, we have to seek it for ourselves. And this is captured very beautifully in the last verse that we'll cover for tonight, which is again from the words of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. This is from Surah Shu'ara, Surah 26, verse number 88. He says the following, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وَلَا تُخْزِنِي يَوْمَ يُبْعَثُونَ. O Allah, do not disgrace me on that day that everyone will be resurrected. This should be a dua that we're all making. One of the worst punishments on the Day of Judgment is to be disgraced in the eyes of others. When others see the reality that was hidden from them in this world. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ. That day in which wealth and in which family and children aren't going to help anybody. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Except for that individual who comes to Allah with a heart which is pure, a heart which is free of defects. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, we saw so much emphasis, so many times he's mentioning his children, praying for his family. Anytime a blessing comes to him, he wants his children to have that blessing as well too. And I only gave you a sampling of them in the course of yesterday's lecture and today's lecture. There's more. But he understands the reality that it can't be, our children cannot be successful while we forget about ourselves. He says, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَعْنُ وَلَا بَنُونَ. He's not saying that somebody who has wealth or has children, that person is going to be lost on the Day of Judgment. He's saying that that's not what's important. That's not the thing that's going to save somebody. Oh, I raised children who were good. They were successful. That's not enough. What about yourself? What about ourselves? يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَعْلَمْ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَطَّى اللَّهَ بِخَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. That's the criteria. That we have to come to Allah in the state where our heart is pure. What can we do? How is it that we can have a heart which is pure? That's what the deen has come to teach us. The effects of practicing this deen, this beautiful religion, these instructions that we have of fulfilling our obligations to Allah and others, of improving ourselves, of building ourselves, of developing our character, of learning how to acquire traits like becoming Haleem. I was so pleased that yesterday somebody asked this question, what can I do to become Haleem? These are the types of questions that we should be asking. These teachings, if we put them into practice, slowly, slowly, gradually, gradually, they are meant to take us to the point where we have a qalb which is saleem. It has effect on our spiritual heart. We pray to Allah that when we meet Him, we will all have hearts which are saleem. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ الطَّاهِرِينَ